Okay, so I'd like to invite our next presenter, Dr. Hong Zhao, and she'll be presenting on unlocking the potential of electronic medical records for patient-centered outcomes research. What policies are needed to facilitate clinical and administrative data sharing? Dr. Zhao?
Thank you. Good morning. I'm making this presentation on behalf of Mr. Jason Feldman, who was working for the department, Florida Department of Health at the time when we conducted this project. So I was part of this project from more as a researcher. So some of the content today I present today is a little bit beyond the scope of my responsibility, but I'll try my best to address any questions if you have. And Dr. Yuji Huang, who is listed on this slide, is the principal investigator of the project. Okay. And I, Hong Xiao, do not have any relationships to disclose. But I do want to give you some background about this project. This project was funded by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and to expand comparative effectiveness research with a focus on complex and comorbid patients. And so you all know patients who have multiple chronic conditions, they are commonly seen in healthcare system. So the AHRQ CER is really focused on this type of patients. And so according to the AHRQ, the comparative effectiveness research is designed to inform healthcare decisions by providing evidence of effectiveness, benefits, and harms of different treatment options. And evidence is generated from studies that compare drugs, medical devices, surgeries, ways to deliver healthcare. I think Molly also mentioned that we are doing a lot of this models and framework just to support evidence-based practice of medicine to, I guess, conserve resources since our resources are always limited. So the Florida Department of Health partnered with Florida Cancer Data System, which maintains the Florida State Cancer Registry, and also a large metropolitan hospital systems, which consists of nine hospitals, and the researchers at Florida A&M University, University of Miami, and Indiana University. So it's really a collaborative partnership. So this collaborated data sharing project had the following goals. We intended to build a patient-centered outcome research data infrastructure with electronic medical records, and use the patient electronic medical records data infrastructure to perform CER and validation studies. And Florida Cancer Data System utilizes its own data sharing agreement for data requests, or the Florida healthcare facilities transmitting patient records. And using this model, we are actually sharing this sharing data and policies and practices with a broader range of external partners, not only the researchers, but also hospitals, physicians, clinics, if they need to get the information. So the Florida Cancer Data System, again, has contracted with, it has a contract, active contract with Florida Department of Health to maintain the state cancer registry. And they do have the confidentiality and non-disclosure agreement in place. And the purposes of the policy, of course, included the following is to protect the privacy of individual patients, healthcare providers, and facilities reporting these cancer cases, and also to provide public assurance that the data will not be abused, and to abide by confidentiality protecting legislation or administrative rules that apply. And so Florida Cancer Data System, they routinely receives and collects protected health information from healthcare providers and facilities. It's a requirement actually by a Florida statute to collect tumor and cancer cases. And the information collected by the IFCDS is definitely confidential by the statute. And the undersigned person is authorized by the FCDS to receive and use protected health information on behalf of the FCDS. Okay, we have this data sharing and security plans in place, and we want to treat all the personal identifiable information as confidential, like you all know, to protect the patient confidentiality through secure data transfer protocol, data storage, retention, destruction. As a researcher, I had to go through jump a lot of hoops in order to get the data, especially the data that I use for my research has some patient residential information like street address. So I had to jump extra hoops. And to also make sure that the data is securely stored and retained, and then after the analysis, we destroy the data in also a secure way. And we also define the intent and scope of sharing minimal data elements for project completion among parties. Again, the data has different levels of security. There are public use information for researchers to get without any cost. And if you do need, like myself, for my research, I needed the geocoding, the coordinates, and the street address. Even though we did reach an agreement to create a random noise within a mile radius for the patient residence, so that we won't be able to identify exactly where they live. So we have to pay really handsomely. I paid $6,000 for my data, for my research. Again, it's just a little bit perspective from the researcher's point of view. And of course, the data sharing and the security plans must authorize access to minimum number of staff required to view data, specify staff roles and responsibilities, and everybody has to sign the data sharing and the confidentiality agreements. So a stack of paper we have to go through and sign and initial every page. Of course, there are benefits of linking the databases. Again, from the research point of view, there were some research done before using the cancer registry data alone, but it was really limited because there was only certain information available to researchers. After linking the cancer registry data with the hospital EMR data, more meaningful research questions were generated, and I'll show you a few examples later on. For this cancer registry data particularly, it only contains the first course of treatment, of cancer treatment. It doesn't really give you the details of the lab work and chemotherapy after a patient is being admitted. So after we linked to the hospital EMR information, we were able to follow patients in long term and getting a bigger picture or more comprehensive picture of the patient outcomes. Of course, there are security concerns. Yeah, patients' personally identifiable information about previous diagnosis, and again, there even the social economic status, all the other information have to be protected. Facility reporting through secure means of data transmission. Again, as researcher, each of us, I was given a FTP a passport, a password, and login. So everybody actually got their own login and password for accessing the data. And there are some legal responsibilities, ownership of data issues there, and also in terms of the dissemination of research findings, we're not allowed to disclose, of course, not even the hospital names. So I can only say that we use a hospital system here instead of naming the individual hospitals, because they don't like us to say their names. Oh, only for good things, maybe, not only positive things. So the opportunities definitely exist for future collaborations. I don't know if you are all familiar with the North American Association of Central Cancer Registry, NACER for short. They have an agreement called National Interstate Data Exchange Agreement. And this agreement allows states to collect information on patients who actually were initially diagnosed in their states, but then moved to other states. So this interstate data exchange agreement allows them to collect patient and follow patient long term. So for example, if a patient, prostate cancer patient was diagnosed in Florida, and then he went to New York or came to Boston for treatment. Due to this agreement, Florida Department of Health can actually follow that patient and request data on that patient from the Department of Health here in Massachusetts. Okay, so I mentioned this. So this agreement will allow the states to exchange data on cases diagnosed or treated in other states or areas. And this agreement also takes place of multiple interstate data exchange agreements with some restrictions. For example, restriction one states release of a potentially re-identifiable Michigan data is not permitted without the prior written approval of the Michigan Registry. So this includes the release for research, so requirement pursuant to Michigan Administrative Rule and with a number. So what it says is that even though there is a NACER at the national level agreement for states to share data, to share and exchange data, but for Michigan, if anybody or even researchers need their data for Michigan residents, Michigan Department of Health or whoever is managing the Michigan registry data will have to prior authorize this process before the data for Michigan residents to be released. And same for the, I think, Massachusetts. So I'm not going to read all these. Basically, they are the same way. So all these states, Massachusetts, Kentucky, Idaho, Texas. So five states, actually, they need more paperwork to be done before they release data. So even though the prostate cancer patient moved from Florida to Massachusetts, if a state department in Florida wants this patient's information for treatment, for follow-up treatment, and other information, they will have to get authorization or an approval from the Department of Health here at Massachusetts before they get data. So actually, after we link the data between the state cancer registry and the hospital EMR, we were able to ask more meaningful questions, and we conducted some research projects, and these are some of the examples. The first one, the state cancer registry personnel, they validated the benefits of linking the hospital EMR and the state registry and see whether the data has really been enhanced in terms of maybe answering more research questions and also following patients long-term or longer-term. And there was also a project done to assess the body mass index as a predictor of overall outcomes, delays in, and calls for modification in treatment modalities. We also analyzed and planned avoidable hospital readmissions by length of stay, complications, and costs incurred. Triple negative patients' treatment outcomes based on treatment modality and the completion of therapy. And we are about to assess reconstructive surgery utilization patterns based on patient race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and insurance status. So this project hasn't been started yet, but we have already collected the data and make the data ready for analysis. So this first validation study was published in the Journal of Registry Management to document the value of the linked data. So it was actually shown that there was added value, okay, for linked data beyond those separate data sets before linkage. And also in this year's NACER annual meeting, two projects were presented. I presented the impact of body mass index on breast cancer prognosis in patient-centered research, and one of my colleagues presented the investigation of drivers of hospital readmissions with hospital and cancer registry data. And at this meeting, we have another oral presentation this afternoon by one of my colleagues. The topic will be the examination of the factors associated with cancer survival among complex patients using competing risk model. And yesterday, we presented a poster entitled Survival of Women with Triple Negative Breast Cancer in Florida. So all these projects have been completed and presented or disseminated. But like I said, some other projects are still on the way, underway, ongoing. Okay, I would like to acknowledge some of the collaborations and my colleagues. And I mentioned that this was a collaboration between a public health agency, namely Florida Department of Health, and a nonprofit hospital system. And I won't mention their names. And so it was a good experience and a very good collaboration. And this work was funded through the AHRQ Multiple Chronic Conditions Research Network. And this network is made up of AHRQ funded researchers to generate new knowledge about patients with multiple chronic conditions. And the technical assistance was provided by the Inter-University Consortium for political and social research from University of Miami. So with that, I think, yeah. So these are the main references that my colleagues and I use for this presentation. And I will welcome your questions after all my colleagues finish their presentations.